right. And I invite you to turn to Psalm 23 again. My prayer is that Psalm 23 may be a help to us. It has been an inspiration to me studying this again and seeing it in the light and trying to see it through the eyes of the Christmas story. And it was a help to David when he, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, first penned this. And I wondered, since we all, this is a well-known psalm, if maybe we could just recite it together. Would you say it with me? And don't worry about it. If you learned it in the King James, that's okay. If you learned it in the NIV, that's all right too. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And now listen as we read from the Gospel of Luke, as he recounts Zechariah's song of praise. The song is called the Benedictus, and he is looking back and seeing how God has been faithful to him in his life. You will hear in his song, the Benedictus, some echoes of Psalm 23 here and his dependence on the Lord. So beginning at verse 67, Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to redeem his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hands of all those who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of the enemy and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our day. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, and to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was growing up on the farm, we had two dogs. We named them Skippy and Texie. And they were great dogs. They were faithful companions. They were good friends. And they were great when the cows got out. They helped us to get them back in when we were bringing them in daily. They kind of knew the routine, and they barked behind them. Most of the time, they were great. There were times, however, where they were overly enthusiastic about chasing cows that were in the corn and drove them further into the corn, and those were frustrating moments. But those two dogs were wonderful, and they kind of remind me of the shepherds. Companions. A good shepherd in Israel had a couple of good sheep dogs, and when you see them doing the work that they need to do, they're kind of behind there. They're chasing behind the sheep, and they're making sure that they get to where the shepherd is leading them. And so that is sort of the kind of a template here. Surely goodness and mercy. Now picture me with me this idea. Let's call these two sheepdogs goodness and mercy. So just think about that. That picture in our minds, the shepherd leading the flock on the path, and these two dogs named goodness and mercy are behind them, making sure that they stay on the path. So before we drill down into this section, I want you to remember the picture of Psalm 23. The big picture, if you look at Psalm 23, verse 1, the third word in the Hebrew text is the Lord. Now, in the Hebrew, they also include the title of David. But the third to the last word is also the Lord. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the Hebrew, that's the third to the last. Now, I say that because that is a literary way of just sort of surrounding that text with the Lord. It's like everything that happens in this text is surrounded by a shepherd that leads, and then a place that we belong forever. The Lord is always there. It's a beautiful picture. It's a wonderful scene. It's sort of like a police escort. You've seen them, a presidential motorcade. There are those that go before the president, and there are those that are with the president on both sides, and there are those that follow along behind. Complete security, perfect protection, provision that you need along the way, ahead, behind, and beside. Now, we're at this point where David, who penned this by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, is looking back at his life. And he can see with clarity now some things that maybe he couldn't see so clearly when he was in an earlier section, walking the green pastures or going through the dark valley. He could see with clarity that God was not only leading him through all the ups and downs of his life, and not only was he with him even now in the shadow of death, but he was doing so much more. There's so much more going on in our lives than we can actually see at the moment. Isn't that our experience? When we're at a moment in time and you're in the midst of something happens to you. You have a flat tire by the side of the road. All you can think about is like, this is the worst thing ever. I don't know why this is happening. We cry out. You know, maybe that's just a minor comparison with what some of us walk through in life. And we cry out, where are you, God? I need you. I have everything I thought I wanted, everything that would just bring me fulfillment and joy and happiness and everything that I long for, but yet I feel there's something missing. Where are you? Can you please show me the way? I don't know where this thing that I'm involved with right now is going to lead. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Are you there right now? Can you identify with that dynamic in your life? That's okay. That's okay. We're all there at one time or another, and it's going to make some sense someday. That's the hope that we have as Christians. Looking back at our lives, we will be able to see that God is continually pouring out good gifts into our life. James says it so well in James 1:17. He says, every good and perfect gift comes to us from our Father of heavenly lights. It's so vital that we take time every now and then just to pause and look back. Think about the journey of your life. Where were you a year ago at this time? What were you doing 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Some of you can go a lot further than that. and you look at it from where you're at now, what did you long for as a young person? What did you want to, what was your dream? What did you want to be? And now you see where you're at now. And many instances, it's like, you know what? My life turned out so much better by the grace of God than I imagined it was possible at that time in my life. Our natural tendency is to sort of, and this is a sinful condition, we all have this, is to blame God for everything that goes wrong and to thank Him for nothing that goes right. That's our natural tendency. It's our impulse. But as we look back at our life and see God at work in our life, we're able to say, thank you, God. Thank you for this breath that I just took. Thank you for the sunshine that greeted me this morning. Thank you for the glorious sunset that I saw last night and the sunrise that greeted me this morning. The green pastures that you send my way. And from the vantage point of where David is now, we can say, thank you for those difficult times. Because look what happened in my life. We can be thankful. Why? Because God provides for everything that we need. The shepherd who leads us also sends goodness and mercy or love after us. In our translation, it says, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. I was struck this week as I was preparing for this. That's not exactly the best translation possible. It makes sense, but it can give the picture of, there I go, their mercy and just, there are those two dogs again behind me, you know, like they're just kind of stalking me wherever I go. No, it's more like, they're pursuing me. It's a stronger translation, pursue me. Goodness and mercy are not just tagging along. They're chasing after me, pursuing me. The Lord is after, is sending them after me. The song, Goodness of God, I love that song. And then there's that little line in there that says, your goodness is running after. It's running after me because God loves us so much that if we, His children, His sheep, get off the path, He's not going to let us go. We talked about rod and staff last week, how both of them are used by Him. Goodness and mercy are part of that, that He says, no, I'm not going to let you go. You think you're leaving me, but you're not going to. You're going to bump your head against the wall. I'm going to let you do that, but I'm going to chase you then around and bring you back on the path again. And it shows a covenant relationship. God relates to His people with a covenant love. Think of Exodus 33, where the Lord calls Moses. He says, Moses, you need to lead the people from Egypt through the desert and bring them to the promised land, to lead them there. And they went for a little time, and before long, Exodus 32, what were they doing? Moses was getting the law from God, and they were sinning, and they built an idol. In just a little time, just the natural tendency of their heart was to stray away from God. Now, Moses, God says, okay, now you're going to lead those people. And Moses, quite understandably, is saying like, Lord, I cannot lead these people if you're not going to go with me. So he asked, Lord, can I see your glory? I want to know that you are going to be there leading my people. And so God says, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my goodness. I'm going to let it pass in front of you. You can't see my face, but I'm going to send my goodness in front of you. And so he does that in Exodus 34. You can read about that. And he says, and I will be gracious. I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. There's that covenant name of the Lord again, the I Am. And I will be gracious on whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. The essence of who God is His glory. And the glory of God is revealed to us in His goodness to us. His goodness and His covenant name both are expressed in His covenant love to His people. When He does reveal Himself to Moses in a cloud, He proclaims His name. And then in Exodus 34, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. In the wilderness, the people were being pursued by the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh, in their rescue, they were pursued by his tyranny, and they were running from him, and yet they were being pursued by the goodness and mercy of their covenant God, who did not abandon them to their rebellion, in their rebellion, but kept making a way for them to return to him. David, he experienced the goodness of the Lord many times in his life. When you think of the story of David's life, when he was a shepherd boy tending to the sheep, a lion came and tried to take away the sheep, and God gave him the strength to take care of that lion. A bear came along, did the same thing. He was there when David had to fight Goliath. He gave David the strength that he needed. David wouldn't have been able to do it on his own, but God gave it to him. He was there at every moment in his life when he anointed him. Of all the sons of David, he was anointed by God. And David knew he didn't earn that or deserve it. He didn't deserve the Lord's goodness. It was the total act of grace on the part of God. That's the story of our life. Grace in our life. For you see, a good way to think of God's grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. That's the bottom line. If we're really honest, everything that we have, we really don't deserve it in terms of our relationship to God. We don't deserve it, but He gives us something that we do not deserve. If you belong to the good Father, if you, to use the image of our text, are invited to have a seat at His table, it's not because God's seen something in you that said, man, I need this man, this woman, this boy, this girl at my table because they'll make my family look good. No. No, He says, there's a seat at the table for you. Come. Come and eat, and I will provide for everything you need. And there's nothing that we do to earn God's favor. That's a comforting thought. It's also comforting to know that there's nothing that we have done that is going to make God love us less. Because it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ in us. The word for mercy that He uses, mercy is the exact opposite. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. That's the balance there. Same God, same coin, just different sides. God not giving us what we do deserve. David knows that mercy, hot on his heels, is the covenant mercy of God. That's the word hesed. It's called steadfast love. That's why some translations say, surely goodness and love will follow me. It's that word hesed. The shepherd sends his sheepdog mercy to chase after us in mercy. And that's good news, because what if God responded to us instead with His justice? What if He chased us? That would be very bad news indeed. That's like a wildfire that we've seen out west or in the mountain areas that are just consuming dry forests. That is the justice of God, like a fire sweeping everything in its path. The prophet Habakkuk heard how the Lord was going to judge Israel because they were persistently rebellious and disobedient. And he pleaded, "Lord, in your wrath, please remember mercy." We can thank God that he does not give us what we deserve, but instead gives us what we don't deserve, his grace. In Christ Jesus, we can say God pursues us not with justice, but with covenant love. I wonder, why would we ever want to run from God who is pursuing us? God desires to bring the lost into his fold. In his kindness, the Lord wants to bring us to himself. And it is his kindness that chases us. Paul says it so well in Romans 2, "Do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads us to repentance?" Surely God is chasing after us. That's the good news that we share in this time and season in our life. Psalm 23 tells us a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. Maybe you see this pictured so well in couples that have been married for a long time. I know there's some of you here who've been together for a long time, over 60 years of marriage. And you stuck it together. And that you stuck together by God's grace. You look at your photos from years ago. And maybe some of you had this experience. A couple smiling into the camera. And many people said, it's not going to last. It's not going to happen. You know, maybe you've been there. And now look at you now. Look at you now, that's steadfast love. That's love that hasn't gone anywhere. It hasn't gone anywhere than continued to stick with and to pursue. And I don't think that means that they're tolerating the other person because I have to, but you continue to learn new things about that other person and you continue to show God's grace and mercy to each other and forgive each other, and you have a stronger bond now together. That is covenant love. That is the story. One more thing that I want to say about this goodness and mercy. And that's that little word at the beginning of it, surely. Surely is a word that supercharges goodness and mercy. It gives a sense that this will definitely happen. It's surely going to happen. There's something deeper to this. In some translations, there's another word that's used instead of surely, and that is only. Only God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I like that. David is looking back over his shoulders at everything that has happened in his life, and he sees God in every single circumstance, the good and the bad. He sees God in the dark valleys and the green pastures. With 20/20 vision, he looks back and says, "In all that has happened to me, I see only his goodness and mercy following me every day of my life." That is an intense statement. It doesn't just draw a circle around everything that has happened in your life, but it draws a line through everything that happens in our life. And that's why he concludes that with, "Your goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life." Now, if you've ever been in a conversation with somebody, let's say a heated argument, maybe some of the same couples that have been married 63 have had an argument with somebody else, and it's heated. And what's the natural thing that you usually say when you're being challenged by somebody or when you disagree with somebody? "You always..." Anybody use that before?
I have. You always. You never. And we absolutize the other person's. Well, this is kind of like that, but in reverse. This is David saying his statement of faith. God, you are always going to take care of me. You are always going to be there. Your best purposes for my life are going to be fulfilled as I live it out. The good things that bring me joy in life are going to give me occasion for praise. The difficult things, the things that I can't hold on my own, those are going to drive me to you. And you only show me goodness and mercy all the days of my life. Can you imagine having that kind of hope in life? That is what David, this is where this psalm was leading all along. The Lord at the beginning, the Lord in the middle, the Lord at the end, the Lord now, and the Lord here forever. There's not a day that God's goodness and mercy do not pursue us. Maybe right now you're in the realm of a raw, brutal reality in your life. I don't know. But as I walk with you, I know that life isn't always easy. There's illness, there's death, there's brokenness at every point in our life. There's an uncertain future, there's grief in the dark valley. I don't know your story, but the things that makes you cry out to God, where are you? Maybe you're there right now. I want to conclude my message with a look at Psalm 77. It's a beautiful psalm. I'm just going to give you the big picture, and you can read it later today. But in Psalm 77, the author is crying out to God. And he says, I cried to the Lord because I'm in despair. I don't know where to turn. I feel like everything is going wrong in my life. And I wonder, where are you, Lord? And I sought the Lord, and I'm crying out with my hand. I remembered you, O Lord. And I groaned and I meditated. So he's setting this up. He just can find no peace in his life. And what he said he's going to do at that point, he says, okay, this is what I'm going to do in those difficult times where I don't know if God, you are with me. I am going to just remember your works. And so like a good Israelite, he went back to the Exodus story. And he said, I'm going to remember your mercies of old. I'm going to remember what you've done in the past. And so he begins with them being led out of Egypt, and then they had to go through the waters. And there's he describes those waters in beautiful, picturesque terms. The waters roared, they writhed, the clouds poured down water, and the heavens resounded with thunder. And so there it is, you know, there's that fierce awesomeness of God. And he said, we've got to go through that sea, and then this here statement, but your footprints I could not see. William Cowper captures the image of that picture where God moves in a mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Is there a moment in your life where you say, I don't know where God is? I don't know if you're in this, God. I don't even know you. Maybe you've had a life where you've walked away from God and tried to avoid him, but you can't outrun the goodness and mercy of God, and those two dogs are chasing you even now. And I wonder if you can just take a few moments to reflect, where am I now with God? Is the Lord my shepherd? Do I have firm and certain hope that no matter what happens in my life, it's going to be okay next minute, tomorrow, next week, no matter what happens, because God got this? A beautiful rendition of this song is going to lead us in that, but I want you just to use this as a time of reflection, just to connect with God, say, where are you, God, in my life? And then just that assurance. Hear God saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I am with you right now. Surely goodness and mercy.
Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In green pastures he makes me lie down. He restores my soul and leads me on for his name, for his great name. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me all my days. And I will dwell in your house forever and bless your though the arrow flies and the terror of night is at my door, I trust you, Lord. Surely goodness, surely mercy, right beside me.
A good shepherd, and he is only ever good. In all his ways with all his people, he only ever sends goodness and mercy after them. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for the good shepherd who gave himself for his sheep, who gives eternal life to his sheep, who leads them on the path of righteousness, who pursues them with goodness and mercy all the days of our life, so that we will never perish.
May the Good Shepherd be our shepherd now and forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's say thank you to God in the giving of our tithes and our offerings this morning. And as our offerings are received, let us also sing a song, "Angels We Have Heard on High."